translation of Prabhupada by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When the ruling administrators, who are known as the Kshatriyas, turn astray from the path of the absolute truth, being desirous to suffer in hell, the Lord, in his incarnation as the sage Parshuram, uprooted those unwanted kings who appeared as the thorns of the earth. Thus, he thrice, seven times, uprooted the Kshatriyas with his keenly sharpened chopper. Purport. The Kshatriyas, or the ruling administrators of any part of the universe, either on this planet or other planets, are factually the representatives of the Almighty Personality of Godhead, and they are meant to lead the subjects toward the path of God realization. Every state and its administrators, regardless of the nature of the administration, monarchy or democracy, oligarchy or dictatorship or autocracy, have the prime responsibility to lead the citizens towards God realization. This is essential for all human beings, and it is the duty of the father, spiritual master, and ultimately the state to take up the responsibility of leading the citizens towards this end. The whole creation of material existence is made for this purpose, just to give a chance to the fallen souls who rebelled against the will of the Supreme Father and thus became conditioned by the material nature. The force of material nature gradually leads one to a hellish condition of perpetual pain and miseries. Those going against the prescribed rules and regulations of conditioned life are called Brahma Jyotita Pathas, or persons going against the path of absolute truth, and they are liable to be punished. Lord Parshuram, the incarnation of the Personality of Godhead, appeared in such a state of worldly affairs and killed all the miscreant kings 21 times. Many Kshatriya kings fled from India to other parts of the world at that time. And according to the authority of Mahabharata, the kings of Egypt originally migrated from India because of Parashuram's program of chastisement. The kings or administrators are similarly chastised in all circumstances whenever they become godless and plan a godless civilization. This is the order of the Almighty. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhavaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakans Vitamsha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're reading this chapter, which is entitled The Scheduled Incarnations and the Specific Duties or Activities. And so in this chapter, various avatars are described. Guna avatar, Leela avatar, Manvantara avatar, Shakti Avesh avatar, etc., etc. So we've heard of many, many incarnations, and this particular one, this particular text, refers to the incarnation of Lord Parashuram. So who's speaking this chapter? Just some background. Who's speaking? Who's speaking in this chapter? Who's giving the verses here? Anybody? Lord, yes, somebody said Lord Brahma. Yes, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is answering questions by Narada Muni. Six questions he asked at the beginning of chapter 5. And Lord Brahma is answering. So everything began even a little bit before, where Parikshit Maharaj was asked by Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukdev Goswami about three things. How does the Lord create, maintain, and destroy the universes? How does he enact primary and secondary creations? And how does he expand himself? So Shukdev Goswami at that time said that Narad Muni asked the same questions to Brahma. So I will answer you, quoting that conversation, the samvad. So this is the way of preaching. We always lean on the previous acharyas. We always pick on what we've heard before from previous acharyas, and rather than make up things ourselves or try and answer, we always, whenever possible, quote from Shastra, quote from previous conversations from exalted devotees. So, this verse is Parashuram. Prabhupada begins like I always do. Today the class is going to be short. Sakita Priya Prabhu, we can go on till 9. Okay. I got the permission. Oh, fantastic. I thought it was going to say finish by 8:30. Okay. So, I'd like to go through, normally whenever I do a class, I like to go through the purport, line by line, just to try and understand, get behind Prabhupada's sort of thinking around this verse. So Prabhupada begins the purport by saying the kshatriyas, or the ruling administrators of any part of the universe, either on this planet or on other planets, are factually the representatives of the Almighty Personality of Godhead, and they are meant to lead the subjects towards the path of God realization. So kshatriya, is a santi of two words, kshat and trayate. So kshat means injury, and trayate means to save from. So kshatriyas are meant to save the citizens from injury. So yes, they are, of course, their primary duty. We see nowadays primary duty of kshatriya is to protect the citizens. When we say kshatriyas nowadays, we talk about the military, for example. It's just a shadow of the kshatriyas. But anyway, they are supposed to protect the citizens. But that's where everybody's left it now. But actually the prime duty, as Prabhupada explains in this purport, of a kshatriya is to lead the citizens from ignorance to knowledge, to lead people on the spiritual path, to increase people's knowledge and get them to a point where they can go back to Godhead. So in previous ages, these kings, they were called Rajarshis. So sandhi of two words again, Raja and Rishi. They were Rajarshis. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse that talks about Rajarshis. Can anybody remember what text it was? 4:2. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakale naha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. So this word rajarshayaha is the same, rajarshi, raja and vishaya, the saintly kings. So the translation for that verse is this supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession. And the saintly kings understood it in this way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. So saintly kings, all kings in those days were saintly, and they knew their prime duty was to lead the citizens from ignorance to knowledge. Prabhupada continues the purport. This is essential for all human beings, and it is the duty of the father, spiritual master, and ultimately the state to take up the responsibility of leading the citizens towards the end. So no one should become a leader according to the Shastras. Nobody should become a leader unless he is capable of delivering the citizens or his followers from the path of repeated birth and death. Again, the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, Rishabhadev. Famous verse, anybody remember that verse? Talking about you should not lead, you should not be a father, spiritual master, etc. Anybody? Okay, so yeah. He said, Guru na satsyat, svajano na satsyat, pita na satsyat, janani na satsyat, daivam na satsyat, na patishta satsyat, na mochietya samupeta mrityum. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. I've never understood this worshipable demigod part, because can you become a demigod? I suppose you can become a demigod by acting a certain way in this life, get promoted, then become a demigod, yeah. But one should not end up in that situation unless we are in a situation to deliver our followers. So Prahlad Maharaj confirms this. Next point before I read Prahlad Maharaj's verse. Prabhupada continues the purport saying, the whole creation of material existence is made for this purpose, just to give a chance to the fallen souls who rebelled against the will of the Supreme Father and thus became conditioned by the material nature. The force of material nature gradually leads one to the hellish conditions of perpetual pains and miseries. So just a reminder, we're saying all these things. Prabhupada is speaking this purport on the background of the pastimes of Parshuram. And as we will read later, Parshuram destroyed 21 times all the Kshatriyas because they were not behaving in this way. And they were leading people to hell. So Prahlad Maharaj, in his answer to his father, this is 7th canto, 5th chapter, he says, Mati, again, this is referring to how unless the leaders are training the citizens, followers, to lead the path of spiritual life, this is what's going to happen. He says, Matirna Krishne Parata Svatova Mitho Vipadyate Griha Vitanam Adanta Gobir Vishitam Tamishram Puna Punaschar Vitachar Vananam. See, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions of life, and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. So this is a situation where I think from people who I know, maybe 80, 90% of them are leading this kind of life. Just materialistic life, work hard, make money, try and enjoy life. And this is what this verse is saying, that these people, because they never turn to Krishna, their future is very, very bleak. Prabhupada continues, those going against the prescribed rules and regulations of conditioned life are called Brahmojita Pathas, or persons going against the path of the absolute truth, and they are liable to be punished. Again, a sandhi of two words, Brahma. Brahma refers to the absolute truth, and ujitaha. Ujitaha means abandoned. So people who have abandoned the path to the absolute truth, this is their situation. Prabhupada continues, Lord Parshuram the incarnation or personality of God, it appeared in such a state of worldly affairs and killed all the miscreant kings 21 times. Parashuram, Parashu and Rama. Parashu refers to an axe or a chopper. And Rama, of course, Lord Ram, or his name was Ram, says he was called Parashu Ram, one who actually possesses a chopper, a sharp chopper. And he was, of course, one of the avatars. We're discussing in this chapter different avatars. Which type of avatara is he? There, you know, there are six principal kinds of avatars: Purusha avatar, Leela avatar, Guna avatar, Manvantara avatar, Shakti Avasya avatar, and one before that is Yuga avatar. Yeah. So which kind of avatar? Prabhuji was saying. He's actually, anybody else here? He's a jiva, yes. Jiva, okay. So he's a jiva, but actually he's classified under the Shakti Avesh avatar. He has his Shakti, and what was his Shakti? His particular Shakti, that is, of course, that is the speciality, and this is why they call Shakti Avesh avatar. What was his Shakti? He says, specifically empowered to cut down rogues and demons. And in Sanskrit, term for that is Dushta Damana Shakti. Dushta means miscreants, Damana, suppress, Shakti. Any other examples of Shakti Avashavtas? Anybody? Matajis? There are many, many. Yes, Prabhu? Shripapad, of course, yes, Shripapad is Shakti Avashavtar. Shakti means something that is extraordinary, that is possessed by a person, really extraordinary. And that person is called Shakti Avasavtar. Prabhupada had the amazing ability to preach so powerfully that he could just, by looking at somebody, he could convert him into a devotee. And he, within a short time, he met more than 10,000 devotees and 108 temples all over the world. That is just a feat. That is completely impossible to imagine. So, of course, Shakti Avasavtar. Any other avatars? Shakti Avasavtar? Yes, Prabhu? Muhammad, yes, exactly. Muhammad. Jesus, of course, he was son of God, but you can classify him as also as Shakti Avasavtar. Other very famous ones are Sheshanag. Sheshanag and Vaikuntha, empowered for the personal service of the Supreme Lord. Seva Sevana Shakti. Then Anantadev, empowered to bear all the planets within the universe. Bhudharana Shakti. Lord Brahma, what was his Shakti? Creation. Lord Brahma's Shakti was Srishti Shakti, to create cosmic manifestations. Then the four Kumaras, their Shakti. Renunciation, that was probably true as well, but here their Shakti is known as Gnana Shakti. They were empowered to distribute knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Narad Muni, devotion, Bhakti Shakti. Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj was empowered to rule and maintain the living entities, Palana Shakti. And of course, Parshuram, Dushta Damana Shakti. So Parshuram was a son, what was his father's name? Jamadagni. Jamadagni was a sage, and Parshuram was his son, one of seven sons, I believe. Parshuram was apparently an ardent disciple of Lord Shiva. And he got lots of boons from Lord Shiva. He actually got his axe, the weapon, from Lord Shiva. He also, Lord Shiva gave him also a bow and arrow as a gift. It is said that Parashuram still lives. He is there in the Mandara Mountains, the range of mountains on the east coast of India, somewhere near Odisha, I believe. So he is still, he's one of the Chiranjeevis. Person who never dies. So he's still around. So ninth canto, 15, I think 15 and 16, two chapters, talk about Parashuram. And it's described there. There's a few pastimes we can go through here. Parashuram, so there was a king, actually. There was a king, very powerful king, called Kartavirya Arjuna. Kartavirya Arjuna was a very powerful king. He had worshipped Lord Dattatreya, and by the boon of Dattatreya, he had 1,000 arms and lots of mystic siddhis. So he was very, very powerful. Just to demonstrate his power, he was once sporting with his female associates in the Ganga. And just for fun, with his 1,000 arms, he blocked the flow of the Ganga. Just with his arms, he was able to, you know, people who've been to Mayapur, been in the Ganga, you can see how the force of Ganga is, but he was able to just stop it. And because of that action, upstream, things started to flood. And Ravana at that time, he had a camp there with his followers, just by the bank of the Ganga, and his whole camp was completely flooded. And he then found out who was doing this, and he came down to chastise Kartavirya Arjuna. And we all know how powerful Arjuna was, how powerful Ravana was. He was, by this time, he was actually dominating even the demigods. So he came down, found out Kartavirya Arjuna, and he challenged him. And there was a big fight. But in that fight, Ravana lost. Imagine the power of Kartavirya Arjuna. So Ravana actually lost. But Kartavirya Arjuna, just as a cat would catch a mouse and let it go, similarly said, okay, go, I'm not going to kill you. But this was the power of this personality. So once Kartavirya Arjuna was hunting in the forest with his soldiers and ministers, and he came across the hermitage of sage Jamadagni, father of Parshuram. So when he arrived there with his entourage, sage Jamadagni, as would be his duty as a brahmana, he welcomed them and then, looked after them, fed them really well, and seemed like, even the food was very opulent, even the things which were served in was gold plates and amazing. And this king is asking, how come you got all this? You are just in a little hermitage here. And so Jamadagni actually said, I have a Kamadhenu cow, a Shurabhi cow. So the cow provides everything to me. So this king, Kartavirya Arjuna, got greedy. And he said, you are a simple mendicant. You don't really need this cow. Give it to me. I can put it to better use. And of course, he says, no, this is not just a cow. It's like my daughter. I'm not going to let you have the cow. But the Kshatriyas, they're passionate. And they, once they decide to have something, they will not let go. So he orders the servants to just forcefully take the cow. So there was a similar incident in the Mahabharata. Anybody remember where? In the Ramayana? Can you expand on that? Yeah, so Vishwamitra and Vashishtha. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Vishwamitra similarly took the cow from Vashishtha. So here, Parshuram wasn't there at the time. So when he came back and find out what happened. So anyway, the cow was taken by Kartavirya Arjuna to his capital, Mahismati. Parshuram came back and he was furious. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, he became as angry as a trampled snake. And he chased Kartavirya Arjuna. He went all the way to Mahismati. And taking his fierce chopper, he fought the army of this this king, Kartavirya Arjuna. And he actually, very powerful king. So he also had big army. It said there's 17 Akshohini sort of parties they were sent to fight him. But single-handedly, Parshuram, with his chopper, killed all the seven. You know, imagine, in the whole of Mahabharata, in the Kurukshetra war. How many Yakshamani troops were there? 18, right? 11 and 7. But there, and this was just one short of that. But Parshuram single-handedly destroyed all of them. So this was his power. And when King Kartavarya Arjuna himself, with his 1,000 arms, he came to fight him, Parshuram actually chopped off all his 1,000 arms in one go, and then chopped off his head as well. So this was power of Parshuram. He then, of course, took the cow back, to Kamadhenu cow back to his father. But surprisingly, his father was not happy. His father said that, you know, wasn't necessary for you to create so much death. And you should not have, you know, we are Brahmanas, we are supposed to forgive. And because of this, all the killing you've done, repent. You got to repent, and you need to. So he did penances, traveled to holy places for one whole year. So that's one pastime. There was another pastime, there's two or three, but we'll do one more, and then we'll stop his quarter at night. So Jamadagni's wife's name was Venuka. Very, very chaste wife. So Venuka once went to the Ganga to fetch some water for a sacrifice that her husband was going to perform. So when she was there at the Ganga, some Gandharvas were sporting there in the water. And the Gandharvas are well known to be very, very, very handsome, very good-looking personalities. And particularly when she saw Chitrarath, the king of the Gandharvas, he was absolutely stunning-looking. So this wife of Jamadagni, she, Venuka, became a little bit, I wouldn't even say lusty, but she just had a flicker of thought which was negative for a chaste woman. She was just, you know, enamored by the beauty of this person. And that's all that happened. And also because of the incident, she was a little bit late coming home. Jamadagni, being a very, very powerful sage, he could see what had happened. So this was a mental, he considered this to be a mental, what you call it? So he said, because of this, mental adultery, because of this you have to be killed. This was how strict the Vedic times things were. Fortunately, now in the Kali Yuga, we don't get sins for what we think about, fortunately. Otherwise, we would all be in hell. But in those days, it was the case that you would actually, even by your thoughts, you would get punished. We would incur karma even by your thoughts. So Jamadagni, he orders his sons. At that time, Parshuram again was a little bit far away, but he said to the 6 sons, kill your mother. The son says, no way, we're not going to kill our mother. And then Parshuram arrived, and he gave the same order to Parshuram. So Parshuram, straightway, accepting the order of his father, he chopped the head of his mother off. That seems like really cruel, right? Heartless, just you killing your mother like this. But Parshuram understood his father, and he knew that there is a way back out of this. So his father, Jamadagni, was very, very pleased with him sort of accepting the order straight away. So he says, I ask for a boon. And of course, what boon does Parshuram ask? I want you to make my mother and my brothers alive again. And because of their boon, they became alive again. So this is a little bit about Parshuram. Many, many things to talk about. Very, very powerful personality. So we'll stop here. Time is moving on. So just a short time we have for any comments, any realizations, any additions anybody wants to make. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, you have amazing knowledge, spiritual knowledge, Prabhupada, amazing, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Just repeating what I'm reading from Prabhupada's books, really.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, when I first heard the verse, I immediately thought of Queen Elizabeth II. It just jumped into my mind. So do you have any reflection on that Kshatriya that's left this material world?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, monarchy nowadays is not the same, but I suppose as the queen, our late queen, she was kind and she was, you know, wasn't in the same category as Prabhupada puts it in terms of taking people back to Godhead and making sure citizens become religious. But then, of course, monarchy is not the same. They don't have absolute power nowadays. It's all democracy. And she was more or less a figurehead. But she did whatever she could in her capacity, supporting the Church of England, didn't she? And, yeah. She also, I remember somebody saying here just a couple of weeks ago, about the time when she passed away, that she was given a Bhagavad Gita when somebody was doing a portrait of hers. And she read bits of Bhagavad Gita and made a nice comment about it. So there you go, that's to her credit.
So would you want to speculate as to what kind of a life she may get next, Hare Krishna?
Yeah, very, very difficult to say that, you know, because karma acts in a very, very complicated way. And while she was a good person, as we know, you know, she was a meat eater. She had, you know, she was, you know, a karmi at the end of the day, still accumulating wealth and all that. But while she had a good side, there was also lots of things which were not Vedic. So yes, you don't know. You really don't know. Depends on how. And these karmas catch up with you after many, many lifetimes as well. So you don't know what her previous activities were in her previous lives. She had a wonderful life. She was born in a royal family and enjoyed opulence all this life because of her previous karmas. Whether she's used up all of them and now she's going to go back to somewhere, square one, or whether she's got still some left to continue, we don't know. That's difficult to answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a very nice class and
thank you.
Thoughtful discourse. You mentioned one pastime about how the cow was stolen, and previously similar pastime was there also. Are there any other similar pastimes that are like replicated like that in the
yes.
scriptures?
With this particular cow, there's one more where there is the pastime of Bhishma, isn't it? Bhishma, in his previous life, he was, what do you call him? He was one of the demigods. There's a particular name, but I forget it now. And there were seven brothers. And one of the wives wanted this cow, Vasishtha's cow. And she insisted, that everybody tried to convince her that, look, the cow belongs to Vasishtha, you can't really take her. But she insisted. And then they all planned and actually kidnapped this cow. And as a result of this, they were cursed to take birth on the earthly planet. And the curse was, yes, you'll take a birth. And then when they repented, there was like, as sometimes happens, it was suffered by the fact that, okay, you'll take birth, but then you will be killed immediately by your mother. And this is where Ganga and Bhishma. Ganga marrying Shantanu. And she kills all seven. And the eighth one was meant, because the eighth one was the one, so there was eight of them. Eighth one was the one who actually stole the cow. Others made the plan, but he actually went. So it says he will have to live for a long time. And that was Bhishma. So he had to live for such a long time. Others were delivered straight away. Back to the spiritual world, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu, Ian Prabhu. Wait for the mic.
Just to say it, I think they were the eight Vasus.
Vasus, that's right, yes. There were eight Vasus, yes. Thank you. Okay, anything for the mic? Yes. Oh, you're sorry, microphone, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for your class. I just always have been wondering, why is it said that he killed the, he chastised the Kshatriyas 21 times? Why does it, why does it have to be so many times?
Yeah, it's a good question. So 21 times. So what, apparently what is, how it's explained is that he killed the Kshatriyas once, but there were so many of them, and many of their wives were still pregnant. So then he kept killing until the last vestige of that lineage of all the Kshatriyas was finished. So until that happened, yeah. So that was 21 times.
Thank you so much. So is it also, because it was said there that 3 times 7, so was it different generations? Or was it?
Yeah, so it is, sometimes they say 3 generations as well. So that can be true as well, because he is still living, so he can survive 3 generations. But also, yeah, when I read that, how it's written, not 21, because in Sanskrit you can say 21. Vimsati is 20, and you can say ek vimsati, that would be 21. But instead of saying 21, it's saying 3 times 7. So yeah, I couldn't quite really figure out why it's put like that, but it could be the, yeah, generations, maybe, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, oh, one more there, down here, Prabhu.
Just a very small comment with response to the discussion there, Prabhu. We say sometimes, I think in English, or it comes from the Bible, that a man lives for 70 years, which is 20s. Three score and ten.
Oh, right, yeah, sometimes. So it's, yeah, biblical also is there, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Thank you so much. We'll end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.